Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation for this morning is from our gospel lesson, that parable of the prodigal son, especially down at the end. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. This is our text. My dear friends in Christ Jesus, our living Lord and Savior, you know as well as I do that Lent is generally a pretty somber time in the church year. It is during the season of Lent that we put away the alleluias and the hallelujahs and sing a little bit more somber music. We put purple on the altar because it's associated with mourning. It anticipates the pain and suffering of the crucifixion. But because the color purple is also associated with royalty, it celebrates the Christ's resurrection and Jesus' sovereign rule over all of creation as well. During the season of Lent, people fast, or they give up meat on Fridays, or they choose something that's important to them to give up in general to show that God is more important than even chocolate. During Lent, fasting, almsgiving, repentance are themes during the season. Comparing our lives to the Ten Commandments brings sorrow to our hearts because we see that we are the cause for Jesus' death on the cross. So Lent is definitely a somber time in the church here. But there is one exception to this, and that is during the fourth Sunday in Lent that we mark today. Traditionally, the fourth Sunday in Lent is called Laetare, which is Latin for rejoice. And so if you look at the intro for today, you see it begins, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions." And so I would suggest to you today that all three lessons that Pastor Ganey read a few moments ago, they are all about mercy. In fact, rather than calling the parable of the prodigal son, I really think it should be called the parable of the merciful father. Unfortunately, since we've been stuck on prodigal son for so long, I don't think I'm going to convince them to make that change. But they should. Because in seeing God's mercy in these three lessons, it really should lead us to rejoice as we ponder the abundant mercy of God. As we begin, it's important to note that Jesus is telling this parable because of ongoing discussions that he's had with the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus' relationship with the scribe and the Pharisees over the last couple of months, over the last couple of chapters in Luke, has really been tense. And you need to look closely at the parable, and you'll find that there's four principal characters in the parable. You have the merciful father, who obviously represents God. Then you've got the two sons, and they represent us. And the elder son particularly represents the scribes and the Pharisees. The character that most people miss are the people of the village who live on the land that's owned by the father. And they are particularly important because they are witnesses to all the events that took place. The son getting the inheritance, the son leaving, the son coming home. They see everything. And then they are finally invited to that wonderful celebration at the return of the prodigal son. So the villagers do play an important part. And the parable consists of what Dr. Just from the Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, it consists of what he calls four insane acts of mercy. Four things that Luke's readers would have considered being absolutely appalling, ridiculous, atrocious, totally unreasonable, totally unexpected, whatever adjective you want to put on it, that's what they would have been. Four insane acts of mercy. But that's exactly what they are. Acts of mercy. The first one of these merciful acts comes when the younger son comes to the father and asks him for his share of the inheritance. Now let me ask you, would you ever go to one of your parents and say, I want my inheritance now? I didn't think so. Well, neither would they. It's totally unheard of. You don't ask for an inheritance in advance. Basically, what you're saying when you do that is, Dad, I want you dead, okay? Rather than risk a rift between him and his son, the father does a totally ridiculous and insane, merciful thing. And he gives his son the inheritance. He doesn't have to. The son hasn't earned it. You don't earn an inheritance. It's a gift. It's the father's money. He can do what he wants with it. But what he does is an act of love for his son. It is a totally insane act of mercy that only this father would ever consider doing. Because you got to remember, this father represents God. So we know the story. The son takes the money, and a couple of days later, he takes off, and he loses all of that money, and he ends up in a pigsty. He hits rock bottom. And you got to remember that for Jews, pigs were unclean animals. They weren't allowed to eat them, even the bacon. They weren't supposed to touch them. Well, this guy had hit rock bottom so badly that he wasn't just touching them, he was residing with them in the pigsty. He was living with them. That's how low his situation had become. But as often happens when someone hits rock bottom, he finally comes to his senses and he realizes his sin against his father and against heaven. And he realizes that his father's servants are treated much better than he was being treated. So he decides to put his tail between his legs, and he goes back to his father and confesses his grave mistake and asks for a position among the servants under his father's house. One thing that you really need to notice in the text, and I think it's really, really huge, that the father sees the son while he was still a long way off. Now, the son wasn't knocking at the door. Okay, the son wasn't even at the edge of the driveway. Okay, the son was still a long way off. And that shows that the father is actively looking for his son. He's anticipating his son's return. He loved his son so much and wanted him back at any cost. Which brings us to the second act of mercy, which would have totally appalled those listening to Jesus tell this parable. The father saw his son and he felt compassion for him, and he ran and embraced him. Did you hear it? We don't hear anything insane in there, do we? But in Jesus' day, for a nobleman who had the respect of everybody in the village who were his servants, for him to run and greet his son would have been totally, totally out of line. Back in Jesus' day, great men didn't run. I mean, just picture it. I should have Pastor Ganey stand up. Stand up and pull your robe up. And, you know, because that's what he would have had to do. He would have had to stand up and pull his robe up and show off his white, scrawny legs and embarrass himself completely in front of all of his villagers who were less than them. It would have brought shame upon him and upon his family, because great men don't run. It was totally an insane act of mercy. Luke 15 tells us that there is great joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And you know, that's exactly what we see in our text for today. Great joy in all of heaven over this one sinner who has repented and he has come home. So the father orders that a robe be brought for his son. He orders that a ring be put on his finger that would make him part of the family again. And he orders the fattened calf to be killed. And again, we don't see anything wrong with any of that. But you know, there are only two situations in which the fattened calf is to be killed. The first one would be if the king was coming to visit. If the king was coming to visit, you go out in the yard and you kill the fattened calf. The other situation was if the oldest son was getting married. If the oldest son was getting married, you killed the fattened calf. Neither of those is happening. Again, this is an insane act of mercy on the part of the father. Killing the fattened calf for his prodigal son and calling a feast for the whole entire village to celebrate the son's return, that is the third insane act of mercy. Well, Luke tells us at the end of the text that the elder son had been out in the field. He had been doing what he's supposed to be doing. He was out there working. His brother had taken off, lost all his money. He's out in the field working. He's totally unaware of everything that's taking place. And so you can imagine his surprise when he comes in from the field and he sees that there's a party going on. Hearing that music and that dancing, he knows that the fattened calf has been killed. He's pretty sure that there wasn't a king coming. He would have known about that. If there was a king coming, Dad would have planned that out and he would have known long in advance. And he's positive that he wasn't getting married. So he is wondering why the fattened calf got killed. And so he is very upset. And so the fourth insane act of mercy that the father does is he goes out to that elder son and entreats him to come in to join that celebration. Remember, the older son represents the scribes and Pharisees that Jesus has been battling with for months. And yet the father still loves them, and he wants them to repent, and he wants them to join the party. You see, that's the way our God is. He is a merciful God. He wants everyone to repent so that they can join him in heaven. God doesn't take any pleasure in sending people to hell. He does everything in his power to reach out to us and get us to repent and trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so that we can enjoy his company in heaven. And so there you have it. 4 totally insane acts of mercy in this one little text. The people hearing Jesus tell this parable would have been totally shocked by all those actions of the Father. But this text shows us very clearly the wonderful mercy of God. And the bottom line is, if Jesus tells this story of the Father reaching out to the scribes and Pharisees that Jesus has been arguing with for months, how much more is God going to reach out to you and to me, his loving children who worship him with all of their hearts? How much more is God going to reach out to us? God wants us to be in heaven with him. We know that because he has sacrificed his son, Jesus, on the cross. And that is where we really see God's mercy. That's where we see God's greatest act of insane mercy, in sacrificing his only son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all of our human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen. You may be seated.